How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Tom Allen.
And me, Susie Ruffle.
And we wanted to talk to you this week about a very important topic.
Something that's close to both of our hearts.
Mid-century furnishings.
Mid-century. Soft furnishings or just furnishings?
I'll take anything I can get.
Okay, so explain to the listener what mid-century furnishing is to you. Well, it's obviously different to everyone.
Of course. It depends which century we're talking about. I would say I like things that are from the middle of the 20th century. Potentially Danish.
Okay.
There, I've said it.
Bacon.
I love bacon.
Yeah.
I love pastries.
Oh, me too.
Apparently Danish pastries, yeah. Fun fact, are not from Denmark.
They're
from
God.
Vienna, and they were made for the Danish people at the Italian court or something. There was some sort of...
Oh, Tom, I think you were drunk.
I think I might have been drunk when someone told me that. But yes,
you're drunk, Tom, go home.
I am drunk. Oh, they're made for the Italians in Vienna who thought that they were Danish. There was some sort of like lie going on with it. But then I would be susceptible to it. I'm like, oh, it's Danish. I must buy.
Yes, you do like Danish things.
I love Danish things. But my parents live in a house that's from the mid 60s.
I know your parents' house.
Well, you're always
I like your parents' house.
Thank you. But
how's the vegetable patch?
It's fallow this year.
Oh, not a patch on it.
Not a patch on it. Dad is not doing vegetables this year, although potatoes are still coming through regardless.
Oh, carry on regardless.
Oh, I never liked them.
What a beautiful sound.
Never thought it was that beautiful. But, so we have a fallow patch, but we're having, Dad has done...
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Pretty maids all in a row. All petunias and...
Pretty maids all in a row? What does that mean? Is that a gardening thing?
I think I just made it up. It's a...
Oh, I like that,
seashells.
Tom. Seashells on the seashore.
No, it's not that one, is it? Cockles.
And mussels alive, oh.
No, it's not that one either. What one is this? Pretty maids all in a row. How does your garden grow? Something, something. Mary, yeah, Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow? With cockle shells and something, something, and pretty maids all in a row.
Oh.
And I think pretty maids all in a row, I don't know, it's probably something very sinister, isn't it, from the Middle Ages.
Yeah, like, rhyme. And you're going to get TB.
Yeah. Yeah, probably something horrific. But all little flowers are nice.
Oh, a lovely
And then
job.
I got a thing, a seed bomb. Not what I thought it was going to be. And it's shaped like a hand grenade, sinisterly. But you throw it in the ground and then all the seeds and the stuff come out and then you sort of have wild country flowers.
Oh my God, Tom, that sounds lovely.
I put it in a pot, didn't I? Mum said the birds have been at it, you won't get nothing from that. But she was wrong.
Great when that happens, isn't it?
Isn't it great? What are your thoughts on aesthetics?
I love yours.
Great. Okay, well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Join us again on Like-Minded Friends. Love Art Deco.
Right.
Love Art Deco.
Well, your flat... I'm just reaching down to get my coffee. Your flat is
lovely. You're
is
right.
It's lovely. And it's, I imagine, from that era.
Yeah.
Do you know when it was built? Have you ever found out? Probably 1930s, I think.
I would have thought so, yeah.
Homes for Heroes. Probably built part of that era.
Maybe. There's a man that lives downstairs that looks like he may have been there since that.
I've seen that man dance. What, the one with the hammer?
Yeah, I lent this guys.
I don't know if he listens. This is a great way to let him know.
This is a great way to let him know. I don't think he does. I imagine he's homophobic. I don't know why. It's the look he gives me.
Let's not cast aspersions, but let's just assume yes.
I think so.
The fact just because you're a lesbian doesn't mean you automatically have a collection of hammers.
So,
but
what happened was
you did.
I was leaving the flat with my bike. I have to carry it down the stairs. Oh, so strong.
Oh, so strong.
So strong.
And in no way a cliche.
Never.
So was it a mountain bike? No, it was a racer, wasn't it?
I've got a little red racer.
Of course.
So I was carrying my little red racer down the stairs of the flat. Mm-hmm. They're communal. I don't take it up to my bedroom. I'm not in a house. I'm not in a duplex. And I'm on the second floor. He's on the bottom floor. And he was looking at his door furiously.
Oh, no.
And I said, oh, no, what's happened?
Oh, no, what's happened?
And he said, I've locked myself out.
Oh, no.
He doesn't use many vowels or consonants, actually.
Lavatava.
And he, and I said, oh no, does someone have a key?
Great, great question.
And he said, no, no one. And then that made me feel quite sad for his life.
Oh, no one, there's no one there. Hmm.
And then he said, I need to get into the house. I need a hammer. Well,
I mean, that is an odd way to get into a house.
Okay, so, but you know we've got the bit of frosted glass at the top of the door.
We've got the same door.
You could smash the glass. I mean, I'm literally telling someone how to break into my house. You don't know where I live.
You'd have to get through the security door first.
You'd have to get through the security door and my bouncer. Mm-hmm. So,
which is a tiny cat.
A tiny cat called Velma, who is just desperate for attention from anyone. Very similar to me. Thanks, guys. So, he smashed the... So then I went upstairs and gave him one of my hammers. I've got three. And
again, nothing stereotypical about that.
Tom.
The hammer collection. Do you have one of those like toolboxes that opens in a cascade?
No. But I do have like different like nails and things if I pick up pictures.
Oh, lovely.
I'm also quite good at painting. Not like you are, Tom. Not like an artiste.
Oh, but you can, on the wall, you're good at...
Yeah, I could do a little wall for you.
You can roller a wall for me.
I can roller a wall for you. There is an element of cliche that I adhere to.
Well, I didn't think that was for me to say, but I already have.
I mean, you didn't think that was for you to say, or it's something you say quite frequently when we're not being recorded?
I sometimes say it when we're being recorded, yeah.
So
you were there in the tool shed.
I was there in the tool shed.
Dungarees on anyway.
The dungarees were on anyway. I was wearing some flat shoes. They were very comfortable. I was wearing no makeup. I was listening to KD Lang.
Of course. Constantly craving.
I was constantly craving more KD Lang.
More KD Lang. Yeah.
And I had Ellen's autobiography in my back pocket. And I was eating hummus.
Of course.
Being opinionated.
You're saying all of this, not me, by the way.
I know. Before anyone...
Before anyone
writes to the PA box,
don't
I am joking.
Get in touch, please.
Don't get in touch.
So, you had your tool belt on anyway.
Tool belts on. Two drills. Classic.
Two drills. Men.
Two drills, men. That's what my new nickname is.
Two drills, men. Mine too, for different reasons.
Oh, this is not a drill.
This is not a drill. True.
So I said, I'll go and fetch you one of my three hammers. So I chose which one was most appropriate for the job.
Okay, for that, what you'll need is,
And then I said to him, look, here's the hammer. Give it back to me later, because I was on the way out.
I'm on my way out. I've got a bike ride. I've got a sponsored bike ride to go on.
It wasn't sponsored. I was just cycling.
Sure.
I had somewhere to be.
We were all in a rush.
We've all got things on.
Some people just smashing a window, breaking into their own flat.
But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I gave him that hammer 3 months ago. Mm. He's not giving it back to me.
It's been a long 3 months.
I mean, luckily I've got another two hammers for all my hammering that I need.
For all your hammering needs. So MC Hammer downstairs.
He just smiles at me. He's like, all right. And I'm like,
my fucking
mate,
hammer,
you've got my
you
fucking
prick.
Hammer. Also, he hasn't replaced the glass. I'm like, come on, mate.
He hasn't replaced the glass?
No, he just put a bit of cardboard in there. I'm like, come on.
Oh, no.
I appreciate
it. I bet it's the right state in there. Have you ever seen around the corner?
Yeah, I've had a really good old gaze.
Ooh, what?
It needs a hoover, firstly.
Oh, dear.
Needs a hoover.
How old is he?
I'd say late 60s.
Oh, okay. Bit lonely.
He's always in the pub, which, of course, so am I. So I see him quite a lot.
Oh.
And he seems quite angry with everyone.
Oh, does he sit on his own?
Yeah, and he like sort of berates the barmaids. Not berates them, but he's like...
Oh, not a friendly guy.
I don't think so, no. So now I'm worried that I'm going to die by the death of my own hammer. Hand of my own hammer.
If I had a hammer...
Hammer horror.
I'd hammer in the... It's the hammer horror. Well, you could knock on the door and say, excuse me, do you have that hammer? I've got to put up some pictures.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is something I think you're doing at the moment.
Yeah. My friend's father-in-law is coming over to put up some pictures for me.
Well, he'll need the hammer.
No, he's got a drill, but I still want the hammer.
Or you could just
break in
with one of your other hammers.
Hammers, yeah, of course.
and steal it in the night.
Like
less
a
recommended.
Thief in the night.
Like a thief in the night. Or you could never speak about it again.
Yeah, I don't know which I'm going to do.
Well, is he not that friendly?
He's not very friendly.
Is that, and there's someone else who's not that friendly in those?
Oh, no, everyone else is pretty good.
Oh, well, there you say hello to people.
Yeah, I say hello to people.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
I mean, there's not, you know, I'm not going to go to anyone's Christmas party. Oh. Although, people that have moved in downstairs.
They're a bit more fun?
They're a bit more fun. They also seem to be a choir.
Oh, great.
Yeah, they sort of practice on a Sunday morning.
Oh.
If I'm hungover, I'm furious. But if I'm not, I love it.
Will you shut up?
Will you be quiet?
I'm trying to sleep up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cockney of you. Well, I remember...
Up the apples and pears.
Up the apples and pears. Thank you, everyone. I remember living next door, when I lived in a similar block, to someone who used to practice the flute all the time. Oh, it was lovely.
Were they any good? Were they much carp?
Terrible. But no, they were good, very good. He had sort of folk flute.
Folk flute.
And
does that mean it doesn't wear shoes and it's got quite long flowy hair?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, lovely.
But it was...
A bit fluky.
It was a very bit fluky. But that was a funny flat, block of flats, really. I mean, there were a nice family on that side, and then the other side was a man who didn't really say very much.
Did he steal your hammer once?
And then one day he borrowed a hammer, and we never saw it again. But I used to grow sweet pea on the balcony. Oh, I had a lovely time. A few pots. And then we saw someone getting arrested.
Oh,
and it was the
exciting
night that Michael Jackson died.
Oh. Do you think it was linked?
I think so.
Was it Conrad? So. What was that doctor's name?
The doctor, yeah. He lived in a council flat in Euston, yeah.
Oh, see, that's the thing. People are always surprising you, aren't they?
You never know. Maybe the man downstairs is kind of like a nice project. You went through a phase of, like, volunteering to sit with old people, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I did volunteer to sit with old people at one point, yeah.
Rent
I love
old
people.
I do too, yeah.
I love old gays.
Yeah.
You would have to say that.
Yeah, I love old gays, yeah. Yeah.
I want to just... befriend. I want to just like go and do the shopping for an elderly gay man.
Well, I'm sure that's doable. I mean, could you do it for Terry downstairs or whatever? I'm assuming he's called something like Terry.
Yeah, Terry, Malcolm.
Malcolm, maybe. Is he a Malcolm?
He could be a Malcolm.
He's quite a heavy set man, isn't he?
He is, yeah, Tom.
I mean, that's two bedrooms he's got on his own there.
He does.
Do you think he bought or do you think he's still renting off the council?
Oh, no, I think he's renting off the council. I reckon he said to me, I've been here for 32 years.
Oh, yeah, he's not. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, he's probably got it all covered, hasn't he?
Probably.
Well, Malcolm. I mean...
Terence Malcolm.
You think they'd send someone round to tidy up a bit? Bit call the midwife, isn't it?
Bit call the midwife. I would say that his gaff is worse than a lot of the sets in Call the Midwife.
Do you like Call the Midwife? Do you watch it?
Yeah, I love it.
I like it.
I love it.
I like the first series especially because that felt like that was based on the novel. It's got there's a bit of it now that's a bit heartbeat. But I still like
it. Oh, yeah, it is a bit heartbeat. But there's also a lesbian character in it now, of course.
There is.
Which my mum rang me to let me know.
Well, that's great. Mums love Call the Midwife, don't they?
Oh, my God, yeah. And I'm like, Mum, you've been through this. Why is this so... Although, my dear old Nan,
yes,
bless her heart, bless
yes
her soul.
Yes.
I said to her, Nan, are you watching Call the Midwife? Assuming she'd love it. And she was like, no, I gave birth in that era. I don't need to be reminded of that.
That's what my mum and dad said about Mad Men. When I said, oh, that's like
well,
when
because
you...
your mum used to work in advertising in America.
She used to be Peggy.
She was.
Mad Men.
Don Draper.
She was Don Draper. She doesn't talk about it now, but yeah. No, but I said, why didn't you watch? She said, no, it's horrible watching all those people smoke. Because, of course, you forget, like, everyone smoked in Mad Men.
Yeah. People used to smoke on the tube.
And they were like, it was gross.
Yeah.
It stank. Everyone was like, and they were like, yeah, everyone's, because they wore suits all the time. There's no, like, dry cleaning. So everyone just smelt horrible.
Oh, that's horrid.
Yeah. Disgusting, right? So it was just like... horrible.
People used to always smell bad, though. That's why yeah brides have flowers.
Oh, it's so horrible, this.
Because they'd have a bath at Christmas.
Oh, so
and then they'd
gross
get married in spring.
Oh, God.
So they'd they'd hold a bouquet to get rid of their body odour. Oh, God. Oh, it was a lovely wedding, but oh, God. Didn't the bride pen and ink?
What a lovely romantic thought. Have you watched The Handmaid's Tale?
No, I haven't yet, but I'm going to, because Samira Wiley's in it. Who I love.
Is that who plays Peggy in Mad Men?
No. It's the girl. There's like a really attractive young black girl in it.
Oh.
Who's in Orange is the New Black, love.
Well, I only watched a bit of it with Mum on Sunday. Oh my God, it was so harrowing. I watched like 1 second of it and I was
it's
like...
It's the Margaret Atwood book, isn't it?
Yeah, which I tried to read and I was like, no, this is too upsetting, I can't do it. I was going to take it on holiday with me. Nobody needs to take dystopian fiction.
No, I mean, just take... I know that it's sort of fiction, but what's the story of A Handmaid's Tale?
Well, I can't... Well, I only read the first few pages of it and the
so
back cover.
So what did you gist?
The gist is, I think it's the future. It's a world where women, or certainly certain women, are basically made to handmaids. They're handmaids, and they're basically, their job is just to have, is to have children for wealthy families.
Right. Okay. Oh God.
And powerful families.
Yeah.
And but it's very much like women are treated very badly. Is the gist.
Right.
And it was just harrowing, some of the scenes from the last one. But that's the thing with dystopian fiction, like Black Mirror, like 1984. It never ends well, does it? It's never like, but they all learned a lesson and then it was all right in the end. It's always like,
yeah,
you
that's the terrible thing. That's why I like reading quite, I love reading a Sarah Waters on a beach.
Oh, no, I need to get more into Sarah Waters. What is that? What is her?
My favourite is The Night Watch.
Oh, okay. And what are they about?
Oh, just sort of like lesbians in the past.
I thought you could say lesbians in the park. Think, what were they doing?
All sorts. Not like your lot, though.
Not like our lot. No, your lot. Be trimming the hedges.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. Like that woman we just saw, like, blowing.
Excuse me.
Excuse me, madam and vicar.
Madam and vicar, rather than the actress and the vicar, madam and vicar.
I just said madam, and then I thought, actually, you could have ended that with vicar.
Vicar, yeah.
So I put both.
There was a woman with a...
Yeah. Oh, good sound.
That's me blowing the leaves.
But she was blowing the leaves.
But Tom and I obviously had a real good chuckle at calling her a blower.
Yeah, we did. We took the piss out of her for ages.
Yeah, pointed, so laughed. Funny. Oh, it was great.
So but Sarah Waters. Okay, so shall I take that on my holiday, which I haven't booked?
Oh, I'll give you a copy of mine.
Oh, I'd like that. People
or
say
Judy Blume.
Or Judy Blume, which was banned in my school.
Was it? Yeah, there was a very sexual, there was a very sexual bit in it.
How sexual was it?
Sex. But like, not in detail. Just like, fine. But I remember it being really quite shocking.
I bet.
As a 14-year-old. But then I was also sort of watching Sex and the City at the time as well, so it was like...
One extreme to the other.
Right, Carrie and the Girls.
Carrie and the Girls. Someone said to me, Life of Pi is good for a holiday, which I still haven't read. And also, Salmon Fishing in the Yemen. There you go.
Hey, why don't you tweet in with your book recommendations for Tom's
holiday?
Yeah,
I love a book recommendation. Yeah. I love a book recommendation. I don't read enough. I had to do some reading last week for a thing, and I really just enjoyed making myself sit down and read.
Yeah, it's really good for you.
I got through like 200 pages in a day.
Oh, that is good.
Just targeting myself like 50 pages. And I never thought I was a fast reader. But I think if you turn off all distractions...
Yeah, that's the thing.
And you go, right, I'm going to give myself an hour, read.
I just finished Alan de Botton's Essays on Love.
Did you enjoy them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Have you read that?
No.
Oh, maybe I'll lend you that.
Oh.
Yeah, I might lend you that.
They're always inspiring. There's always something you get from that. Even just from that meditative sense of just sit still, read a thing.
Yeah.
It's always enriching.
Because we live in a world at the moment that's like, look at this, look at that. This person likes you, this person doesn't. No, noise,
so
noise,
stupid.
Noise. Hate,
yeah.
hate. Like,
yeah.
Be happy, be sad, be thin. Like, it's just so much noise.
Yes,
buy this
exactly.
thing, buy this thing, buy this thing.
Exactly. And that sort of sense of like, even the articles that people share, like, aren't that insightful.
No,
they're just
never.
Like purporting a narrative, which is either one
self-serving
side or the other. Self-serving or, you know, it's so kind of like, there's nothing like,
here's an option.
Here's an option. Yeah, people need to be a bit more, I think, we would all benefit from being like, here's an option, let's talk about things calmly.
Yeah, definitely.
And not being so emotional about everything all the time. People are so emotional.
I'm quite emotional though. I cry a lot.
No, that's fine. But like people who like...
The other day I cried at a cancer research advert. I was like, oh my God, I think I need to get out more.
Well, they are sad.
They are, so
they
sad.
Are sad. I think that like just sort of being a bit like the sort of tabloid emotion, I mean, when
yeah,
I say
yeah,
that,
yeah.
Like be, it's always like so volcanic. It's always like...
Well, there's this thing.
What?
There's this sort of idea that like men aren't emotional.
Yes, toxic masculinity, I believe we're...
But then anger is an emotion.
Yes.
And that's sort of sometimes celebrated in like sort of the male. I don't know, there's that sort of like, talking about like tabloids and stuff. I know not all tabloid journalists are male, I know loads of them are female. But that's sort of like, listen to this thing, Like that is
yes, I think
an emotion that is like...
In psychotherapy...
Oh, thank you, Tom, please do.
Please, let's bring it back to that.
Which of course this podcast is about.
Mainly. I think that anger is usually described as something that's masking something else or... Is a version of kind of frustration, I think, with ourselves.
Well, I mean, we spoke on the last podcast about that guy that was a bit of a prick at your gig a couple of weeks ago.
Well, that was the other thing that was purported, was that he was like, well, he's obviously gay.
Well, that's what I always think. If someone's really homophobic, I'm like, why do you care?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why do you care? And like, and it's not a religious thing, I don't think, because I know my best friend's sister is a priest and she's very into the gays.
Is she?
She's very cool with, she's very down with the gays.
Yeah.
And... Like, you know, no, and I think it's I think if you're angry about something like that, it is.
Well, I think
there is
very
something
hard to be,
else in there. Like, I'm not saying you're definitely gay, but there is something to be said for like.
I think it's very hard to be happy, and if you see people who are like happy and expressing themselves in like,
that's
whatever.
Interesting,
Tom. I think it's really quite confronting. It's quite, what's the word I'm looking for? It's quite upsetting for them. It's quite painful for them because they're like. And that results in anger.
And people like it being able to like live their sort of like to their true self, for want of a better word.
Yeah, it's very difficult for some people.
And I think if you're not doing that,
yeah,
then it's quite confronting.
Yeah, for some people, yeah, I think.
Not for everyone, of course.
Not for everyone. Title of my new book.
title of my new show.
Not for everyone. But yeah, I think so. I think there's a lot of that sort of thing to understand in people.
Yeah.
And we kind of still live in this kind of, like you say, quite immediate, quite... transient, quite like look over here, look over there way. There's no time.
So what would you do? What do you do to...
This is so full of care, we have no time to stop and stare.
Oh, yeah, that's like key stage four.
Yeah.
How do you... So are you trying to read more? Is that something you're trying to...
I'm trying to read more, not as in the RuPaul Drag Race sense, the library is open. Like, just sort of giving people insults. Isn't that reading them?
I love RuPaul's Drag Race.
I mean, Kel Surprise. I've only got back into watching the more recent series, actually.
I love it so hard.
I do like it. I've said this before, I sometimes lament that the first couple of series felt very much like it was a celebration of drag.
Yes.
And then sometimes I found in the latter ones, I feel sometimes the competition is set out quite early.
Mm.
And some of the subtleties and some of the... I used to really enjoy it when Rue talked about, like, you, like, would say to certain ones, like, you've learnt that from a grand old queen. Like, you've learnt that from a great queen who's taught you this. And we'd talk about, like, the history of it quite a lot.
Yeah.
Whereas now it feels a little bit more like, why did you wear that? Oh, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's like a bit bitchier.
Yeah, just a bit bitchier. And, like, I know people like that, so I should let it go. But I sometimes feel like...
Things.
I sometimes feel things.
Oh, my God.
And I sometimes feel like I like the positives of it. I like the celebration of things.
Yeah. I still think it's quite a positive thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I still love it. I'm just saying.
But it is super fun.
Super fun. Do you watch the what's the one online that you can only get online?
Untucked.
Untucked.
No, I don't watch that.
I don't watch that. I feel like I should, though. People tweet about it, don't they?
I just love Bianca Del Rio from, was that Series 5 or something?
Yeah.
She was the best.
So great. I'd like to see her live.
I'd love to see her live. Guys.
If you know.
Hey, Bianca, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Get in touch. You know the PA box.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I met Jinx at Soho Theatre when I was doing my show there.
Clang.
Jinx was in the
Jinx Monsoon
room. And that was exciting to meet.
Was she nice?
Jinx.
What pronoun do we use for he? For drag queens?
I think
when they're in drag she?
I mean, that's what I always go for, but I don't know if that's correct in these.
Oh, I find it so
times.
Hard. I'm so worried about offending people so frequently that I'm like, tell me what you want me to say.
I feel like because drag is sort of about play as well, people are more fluid.
Fluid with it, yeah.
My sense. But I don't know if that's correct or not. But Jinx was lovely, very nice. But unfortunately, I didn't get to see the show because it was on at the same time or similar time to me. So it's a shame. But I like a drag show.
Oh, I love drag.
I hope we'll get to see one soon.
Yeah, we should go to the Glory near my house.
Mm. So is there drag there?
Yeah, but it's sort of like quite unusual drag, I think. I don't think it's traditional drag. I think it's more theatrical.
Non-trad
drag.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds fun.
It is really fun.
Really fun.
Really, really fun.
Yes, because I miss the days of the Black Cap.
Oh, I loved the... We used to go to the Black Cat.
The other day. It was looking very tired. I mean, it's not there anymore. It's closed up, but it looked
I have
sad.
A very clear memory of you and I in there dancing to Kate Bush.
Oh, yes. We were like at the end, we were going to leave, and then they played Kate Bush, didn't they?
And we were just like using the whole of the space, and everybody else was like, can we please leave? I mean, you were
got
like,
a bit
no.
Sometimes you get like a bit of an angry crowd there on a Friday.
Yeah.
On a Saturday, it was a bit more fun.
I love that. We had some great nights out in the Black Cap.
We did, yeah.
Did we see Sharon Needles there?
Pop on a t-shirt and some skinny jeans and go down there.
We did see Sharon Needles there. A great time. A vintage year for Susie and Tom.
A great year for us. A great year. And lots of people were at that show.
Yeah. It was great.
It was really great.
Super fun. So we've got two more tour dates this week.
Yes, end of this week.
23rd and 24th.
Friday and Saturday.
Friday the 23rd, we are in Great Torrington, the Plough, and Saturday the 24th,
Ivy Bridge.
The Watermark Theatre.
Sounds like a character from Coronation Street.
Ivy Bridge.
Ivy Bridge.
Oh, you know Ivy Bridge.
You know what Ivy Bridge is like.
And of course, you guys, you're going to get so bored of this. I'm so sorry, but we are going to consistently plug our Edinburgh shows because we're both working very hard on taking wonderful shows to the Fringe and we just want you all to come and see it, please.
So tell your friends.
Tom's won't sound as miserable as that voice just did. Tom is 8 p.m. at the Cabaret Bar in the Pleasance Courtyard. Oh, it's called Absolutely.
Thank you.
And mine is 9:45.
Keeping it classy.
Keeping it classy. The Pleasance Courtyard in the Below, which is the room that's called. And we're both very excited about going to the Fringe.
Yes, do come along and say hello.
You can, yeah, please do. You can always get in touch with us. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you know, blah, 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 blah. And if you want to email,
exactly.
chat2@likemindedfriends@gmail.com.
That's the one. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you for joining us. We hope you're having a nice Pride month. If you are celebrating Pride. Well done, everyone.
Well done.
I don't know whether, I don't know if there are any prides in this country in June, are there?
I don't know. Sure, but we're going to the London one on the 9th. The 8th?
I think it's the 7th. I thought it was the 7th.
I'm drunk.
One of those. In July. I'll be popping in.
Of course, if you see us there, come and say hi.
Come say hi. And just, you know, keep being you.
Oh, Tom, what a lovely way to end.
Oh, you be you and I'll be me.
And we'll see you next week.
And we'll see you next week. Okay.
Okay, bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day, and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook, and audio.